The UK Psych Health and Safety and ISO 45003 podcast. The goal of the UK Psych Health and Safety podcast is to be your source of information on psychological injury prevention, health promotion, and best practice. In doing this, we aim to rapidly advance the global practice of psychological health and safety in workplaces and adoption of best practices from the ISO 45003 standard. We will be looking at fully integrated approaches to managing psych health and safety and well-being strategy in the workplace that meet the needs of everyone in the organisation. Your regular host will be Peter Kelly, Senior Psychologist with the UK Health and Safety Executive, and Sheila Lord of BMR Health and Wellbeing. Every week, we will have a guest episode from the fields of health and safety, human resources, psychology, and academia who are leading the way in their corner of the globe.
Hello and welcome to our latest episode of the UK Psych Health and Safety Podcast. My name is Sheila Lord. I'm joined today by Peter Kelly, my co-host from the UK Health and Safety Executive. And also joining us today is our guest, Claire Farrow, who is Global Director of Content for Mad World Summit and Make a Difference Media. So welcome, Claire. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Fabulous. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the work that you do with Make a Difference Media and the Mad World Summit?
Yeah, sure. No problem. So I put together the content for Make a Difference Media, which is at www.makeadifference.media. And so we upload content to that all the time. And we also do a fortnightly newsletter. And our kind of our aim with that website is to provide employers with the information they need to kind of navigate the maze of insights that are out there at the moment around how to support employee mental health and well-being. And we also acknowledge that workplace culture is a massive part of that. So we put a lot of emphasis on that. Mm-hmm. And then I also put together the content for Mad World Summit, which is every October. And it's going to be in person again this year, on the 21st of October. Yay! So again, you know, we bring together all sorts of employers who really want to understand what they have to do to either sort of start or build on their existing initiatives that are there to support mental health and wellbeing in the workplace. So yeah, that's in essence what I do.
Fantastic. So you're obviously talking to lots of different businesses out there, lots of different employers of all different shapes and sizes. And
yeah,
we've just had this new standard that's come out that Peter's spent many years of his life contributing to on the committee around ISO 45003. If I call it 45003, Peter tells me off. So that was released last week. What noise are you hearing, or what feedback are you hearing from business leaders that you're talking to with regards to the standard?
Well, I've seen a little bit of buzz about it, but not a huge amount, to be honest. Okay. So I think we need to make some more noise. I think that, you know, I think consultants are starting to understand that what it's about, and that they can kind of advise people. There are some suppliers also acknowledging that it could be a good way of pitching, positioning their products and services for employers. But I think a lot of employers don't understand what it's about, how relevant it is to them and how it can help them. And I think there's a bit of a sense that it's mainly for health and safety, which of course it isn't. I mean, that's the beauty of it from my perspective, that it's something that is actually applicable right across the organisation and will really help to embed, mental health and wellbeing as a strategic priority.
Fantastic. So, Peter, what would you say to those organisations then that are thinking that it's purely just a health and safety thing and it doesn't necessarily...
Well, I mean, it's everyone's thing, isn't it? Is it not? This has always been the issue that we've had, which is we've had people say, well, it's health and safety, it's HR, it's well, you know, it's somebody else but not me. You know, managing people's mental health, managing their psychological health should be everyone's responsibility. So, and there's a good opportunity to do that.
So Claire, you must see a lot of what people are doing there. You've obviously got a lot of content that's coming across your desk at the moment, and you know, one of the things that Peter and I talk about a lot on the show is kind of these you know, a lot of the approaches that we've got at the moment are very tertiary in their approach. They're very focused on injury management, so mental health first aid, EAP, as they'd all sing in solutions sometimes. I mean, what are the trends, if you will, because, you know, mental health and wellbeing does come in waves of trends. What are you seeing in general with the stuff that's coming kind of across your desk? If you're not seeing lots around 45,003, what is it that you are seeing?
I'm thinking, you know, there's a lot of talk about management training at the moment, acknowledgement that the need that the managers have to be trained, which is great, you know, and leadership training, general training around mental health and wellbeing, whether that's helping people to recognize sort of signs and symptoms, or kind of crucially giving them empathy training, giving leaders empathy training, or just training them to be better managers. I think people are recognising that's even more crucial now that, you know, we've entered this hybrid world of working, which looks like it's likely to stay. There's a sort of general shift, I'd say. More people are recognising that they need to take a kind of proactive, preventative approach. So it's not just about putting sticky plasters in place. It's more about kind of understanding how they can kind of put proper processes in place and programs that will head off problems as well as deal with issues when they arise. I think that there's kind of a general shift from throwing everything at the wall and hoping it will stick to understanding that it's about listening to your employees, mm-hmm. And finding out what they need, and also measuring impact. Although generally a lot of people still don't know how to do that.
Of course. I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Peter?
Well, I think, yeah, I mean, I'm seeing a similar thing in my conversations with people, and, you know, they see, I think what we are seeing is a dawning, a reflection on the fact that the way we work and the world of work has changed.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think there's a lot of question marks around how you actually, you know, organizational change seems really difficult for some people to achieve, you know, if you're starting from scratch. I think that's something that I'm looking at, trying to break that down into simpler steps that are kind of more accessible for people.
Do you agree? We're kind of sat in the middle of all this, but there's definitely a different movement, isn't there? A different feel this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, just looking at the response that we're getting to things like our webinars, you know, we've been getting, you know, 500, 600 people along to our webinars, and lots and lots and lots of questions from people. So there's a huge amount of curiosity out there, and, you know, an understanding that just wasn't there before, that something needs to be done. And also a kind of recognition that, you know, if you've got some initial programs in place, that might not be enough, or you need to have a look at how to kind of make it a bit more systemic within the organization. Having said that, though, I mean, I think on the last webinar that we did, a question that kept coming up was, could we share a standard mental health and wellbeing kind of program or policy strategy? And it's actually quite hard to get one of those. I don't know, you know, I will try and do that for people. And I have tried in the past, but I think it's partly because there's this no one size fits all is the truth. It's very hard to get one of those sort of a standard downloadable document.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think they will come about increasingly. You know, if we took the work of Farmer and Stevenson, which, you know, we are familiar with, they set out that you needed to have a mental health plan, a mental health sort of strategy there. So I think we could be, if we start to see traction with that, I think we'll begin to see these things coming up. But it is true, you know, you've got to have something there at an individual level, but you've got to have something at an organizational level. And if you're a big organization, that might look slightly different than if you're a small organization. But the principles that we've seen in the management standards or in 45003 are going to be helpful. I think 45003 complements our management standards. Because it effectively says, well, we want you to do a risk assessment. Oh, here's your risk assessment. But it's all the other stuff that you need to do around that to make that risk assessment real and beneficial to the organization. So I think once you start doing that and you're combining the two, I think we'll see naturally these mental health policies downloadable sort of statements coming along.
Yeah, and then people can tailor them to themselves. Well, that's interesting. I'll point more people towards the ISO standard than ask about that kind
of thing. Yes, and if they're a small organisation and they contact, there's on the shop, there's an option if you're a small organisation to apply and to get the standing for free. And if they've also got a price of what if your productivity is below a certain amount of money, then the standard is free. There are other people who routinely use these standards and have got the 45001, so they'll have that, you know, the standard. They tend to be bigger organizations.
Mm. Again, we were talking to Sally, weren't we, earlier this on an earlier podcast, Pete, and I've just lost my train of thought. And
she was talking about the accessibility of 45003.
Yeah, and again, I think my brain's just kicked back into gear. We were talking with Sally about the standard and picking up on what you were saying before, Claire. You know, there is no one size fits all. You know, and every single element, every single clause of the standard might not be relevant to a business. If you're a business of five or a business of 5,000. There might be certain elements within the standard that you don't necessarily adopt wholeheartedly at that point, but it's there as a framework. It's not active. It's not being certified to as such. Yes, it would go into your systemic processes within your business organization, and you'd have it as part of management review and you can get it all in there. But essentially, it's a standardized framework on a global level agreed with a team of experts, some of the best in their field, on the best way to do workplace wellbeing. So if these guys have spent the last however many years, has it been, Pete, 3 years developing?
3 years, yeah.
And working on this standard, then there's surely got to be some good stuff in there. So
yeah,
work's been done. Take from it and use the parts that you need and make sure that you're doing the parts that are required. UK legislation, doing these risk assessments, doing the planning. You know, and we talk about Farmer Stevenson reports and we talk about all of the other stuff that's out there. By doing and following the 45003 standard, you will be covering all of the elements of that. So
yeah,
it's there. It's done. The hard work's done for you now.
Yeah.
These guys have slogged it for 3 years, getting it to the table. Just now use the tools that are out.
That sounds good. I'll definitely point, people in that direction that are asking, for a framework in future or for some kind of sample strategy. Mm-hmm. And then they can pick and choose what's relevant to them from it, can't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Do you envisage a full conference in October?
Yeah, I mean, we do. It's hard, isn't it? They've just changed this week, haven't they? The expectations around, full lockdown easing and everything. But I think what we're working towards is as a minimum of 700 people being at the event.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as we can have a minimum of 700 people at the event, then it will take place.
Right. And you've got a great lineup of speakers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still working on the agenda. You know, everything in this new world that we live in is sort of all deadlines and, you know, timelines are kind of up in the air, aren't they? But yeah, it's coming together nicely. And hoping you'll join us again, Peter.
Yeah, I think I will. So I went down to London only last week, first time in 15 months. It was an interesting experience. So yeah, looking forward to going back and doing some conferences. Really, because I think actually this message is vitally important that we get it out face to face as well as over the web and the internet. And
yeah,
we've been sat here doing this now for 15 months, but we still sort of miss the contact of being with someone, interacting with them, and you know, yeah, get a feel for what they feel about this area.
And actually, yesterday we did our first Make a Difference Awards yesterday. Aldi Stores UK were one of the winners. They were the winner of the corporate category. And you know, unprompted, the HR director there said that it was attending our event in 2019 at the in-person event, which really inspired her to kind of, you know, pick up the challenge and do something and put something in place that would be holistic and, you know, systemic and embedded across the organization. And, you know, she's done a fantastic job, but she said that was largely because of the inspiration from the event and the people that she was able to talk to there and kind of ideas that she was able to share and listen to. And that's the beauty. I mean, we've been able to do lots with virtual, and actually I'm a fan of these sort of digital events and our, you know, and the webinars, I've really enjoyed doing them, but there's nothing like in person for really sharing ideas and, yeah, and meeting other employers and sort of networking. And that's what people keep telling us, the employers I talk to. They want to learn from other employers. What's working for you? What isn't working for you? Who would you recommend? You know, all this kind of stuff. And you can pretty much only do that in person. So, yeah,
it's roll on just being able to do that. It's that whole social connection, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
talk about, one of the consequences of the pandemic on people's health is isolation and loneliness. And Zoom doubts is the new technical term. You know, that people are feeling not connected to their workplace, to their colleagues, to their peers. And it is because actually we as human beings crave to be around others. Some of us don't, but majority of people do want to be with other people. I think we think about the whole aspect of the future. It's going to be different, but we're going to have to get back to where we have elements of the past. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's something deeply reassuring about things that have gone in the past. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's about taking the best of the past, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, and kicking out all the crap that we tagged along somehow to changing it, and that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sheila, do you have any questions?
I was just interested to find out more from Claire about the awards. So the awards that you kind of announced and kind of what, you know, that criteria was around those awards as well, in terms of what organisations are doing to that are kind of standing out from the others.
Well, I mean, it's the first one that we did this year, and it was actually Sean Davis's idea to do them from Royal Mail Group. And he's on our advisory board, and I was having a chat with him, and he said, you know, we need to really be thanking and, you know, celebrating the organisations that have really embraced this and are made a difference over the past year, what's been an incredibly difficult year. So, very kindly, to make that possible, he sponsored it, as did Optima Health. So we took a slightly different approach to kind of other awards, because there are lots of awards out there. But we said, kind of, let's make sure that this really fits with our mission, which is to bring more and more employers into this conversation. So we made the entry process that super straightforward. You just had to submit a 100-word entry We gave some criteria that the judges would be using to kind of judge the different entries, which were around how sustainable, how measurable, how inclusive, how scalable, and how preventative the strategies were and how holistic they were. Not all of the entries were able to comply with all of those criteria, but it gave people a bit of a guide to go by. And then we kind of had two different categories, employer and individual. So which employer has made the biggest difference to workplace mental health and wellbeing over the past year, and which individual has had the big, made the biggest difference. And we had well over 300 nominations. It was absolutely fantastic to see the range of different organizations. We had, you know, counselors from Canada and US, India, all over the place. So but because it was each nomination, it was free to enter, and you know, we just had 100 word at nominations, it was quite easy to go through them then and select a shortlist. So and we ended up with five different categories in the end. Large kind of corporate, that's 250 plus employees, SME, less than 250 employees, public sector or charity. And then in the individual category, again, we divided it so that we had what we call unsung hero, which is somebody that sort of stepped outside of their normal role and isn't in a leadership position necessarily, to kind of really grasp this agenda and drive it forwards. And then we had true leader, who was kind of a business leader who was driving it forward. And then we opened it to the public vote. So we said, you know, with these 14 nominees, now it's up to you. We've shortlisted them, but let's get everybody else to vote and decide. And actually what happened with that is that we pushed it out across our network, but then all the nominees pushed it out across their networks, which of course amplifies the message more and more and more. And that really feeds into our goal, like, as I say, which is to bring more and more employers to the conversation. You know, if these nominees are all shouting about all the great things that they're doing, look at us, we really prioritize mental health and well-being. That sends a really positive message for others to follow. So that's what we did. And then the winners were announced yesterday at our virtual awards.
And what were some of those initiatives that these employers are doing? What were some of the kind of key themes that came out of that?
So really varied. I mean, the Aldi one was very kind of far ranging. They've got a kind of an app, but I can't really do it justice in just a couple of minutes. You know, that what we were impressed by was the kind of the level of engagement that they'd got actually with the whole process, and their holistic approach, and also the way that they are, so that it's not just about mental health, it's about physical health, you know, nutritional health, financial well-being as well. They've recognised that, you know, you have to support all those different aspects. And also that we really liked the way that they were working with the kind of third parties, such as charities and retail trusts, to sort of build on and support what they're doing. Red Cross were a winner. They were doing fantastic work with their volunteers. Again, a really preventative approach, very holistic. And I think what really struck home about that was that they had developed it by listening to to what people needed. Who else was there? And then the smaller one, Infinity, was the SME that won. And what we were really impressed with there was they're doing all sorts of initiatives to kind of build communication and maintain communication, you know, just as you're talking about, and connection, Peter. But actually, you know, that was just the initiative. The kind of the bigger picture behind that was that they've really recognized that they need to support a kind of a family culture and a culture of psychological safety, and to create that. So they put these different initiatives in to kind of to build on that. So that was really impressive. Christine Howarth from Allen Overy won the Unsung Hero category. And that was, we were really impressed as judges by her kind of, she'd really grasped the nettle, what an ally is within an organisation. And, you know, we're great fans of allies. And, you know, the work they can do, spreading the message about different initiatives, but also feeding back to people who are kind of putting the programmes together. and she's a great advocate as well for mental health and wellbeing. And the winner of the true leader category was David Henderson from who's managing director of a company called Tobermory Concrete. I mean, you know, one of the joys of the awards actually was that we got lots of entries from people we've never seen, you know, talking about mental health and wellbeing before. Lots of companies came to us fresh, which was great. So Tobermory Concrete, and he's just, obviously his people just love him. You know, they nominated him. They said he's our, he's a true leader and we're so lucky to have him. And I thought, fantastic. That is really what we need. We need more leaders to kind of embrace this sort of new approach to leadership, which he clearly has. And he does it in a super authentic way, and he really cares about his people. You could just tell. He recognised that they needed support with their financial well-being. He's also doing stuff to support mental health and well-being. But it was more about putting his employees first. I think that was what we really loved. And clearly lots of other people really loved his nomination as well, because he got, I think it was 67% of the votes, or it was definitely over 60%. So that was the awards.
Fantastic.
I've done a lot of talking.
Oh, no, it's fine. Did you... In the examples during that work, did you see people sort of reaching out into these other, into our areas, you know, psychological health and safety, or were they sort of concentrating on the traditional interventions?
Sometimes it's hard to say, because you have to kind of look behind what the intervention is.
Yeah.
To the intention. That's as I was saying with Infinity. I mean, you know, that I think, but the entry said that, you know, they were doing these different things, kind of distributing care boxes and things like that. But that's one initiative that you can take. But if it's part of a kind of a broader program, which is within their organization, promoting psychological safety, then I think, you know, that works.
Yeah. So it's a part of an overall package of,
exactly,
of measures that you can do, or things that you can put into place.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's people are crying out for that. They're crying out for certain things that, you know, I mean, they do want, they want these, is it the silver bullet or the golden bullet? What is it? When is it one single intervention that does it all?
Doesn't exist though, does it?
And yeah. I have to say, all of the winners had very comprehensive programs in place.
Yeah.
It's hard to see that in the 100 words, and I kind of actually were submitted with their nominations, but yeah. I've spoken to them all now, you know, and understand that their nominations stood out because they are taking this sort of systemic approach,
which is embedded in 45,003 in the management standards, ironically. Who'd have thought that?
It's interesting as well. We run a lot of webinars and we talk a lot on the podcast. I talk to a lot of people, and, you know, as does Pete. But I think one of the things that I find, that no matter how good and how kind of engaged and, you know, some of these programs are, one of the things that is lacking is a systemic, regular risk assessment process for psychological health and safety. And it just seems to be, you know, it's that one area of legislation that people are missing time and time and time again. And, you know, I think now with the 45,003 standard, that for me is one of the biggest pieces that's missing from all of, you know, from a lot of these different approaches. I mean, what's your view on that, Claire?
You know, I think that's interesting. Actually, maybe it's something we need to think about with next year's awards, perhaps even link it back to, you know, demonstrate how your, you know, what you're doing connects with ISO 45,003. You know, I think that's not a bad idea. I think we did a webinar just recently, and we had a speaker from ITV who was talking about their risk approach and how that's helped them to kind of embed psychological safety as a priority. Because they've added it to their whole risk assessment across the business, and every element of the business does it. And feedback on the webinar, you know, in the chat was, oh, that was something they never thought about. Sometimes it's about finding the right language to make it accessible to the business, isn't it? And talking about risk actually does, you know, press a lot of buttons. So sometimes it's finding that way that you'll kind of access the head and the heart within the business, or kind of within the senior leadership.
Yeah. Do you think there's a fear out there of addressing the risk? Just picking up.
Yeah, I do actually. I think that there's, definitely sense that people will open a Pandora's box. And, you know, that does come up from time to time in the discussions that I'm having. And then sometimes I also ask people about it. You know, I say, well, what would you say to people who are scared of opening, you know, a Pandora's box of problems if they start, you know, either adding it to risk assessments or putting initiatives in place? And people always say it's worth doing it. You know, that you know, there's this fear that people will come forward with sort of imagined problems, or, you know, kind of the fake backache equivalent. And people will say, no, well, just, you know, that just doesn't happen. Just forget about that, because there's still so much, actually, a lot of stigma. People are not going to make up mental health problems. So, you know, that's slightly off at a tangent. But I definitely say there is a fear that people will, will open a Pandora's box. And I think what I'd say to people about that is, talk to your people. Don't be afraid to actually find out what your people need. Don't do focus groups. That seems to be something that, you know, I keep hearing again and again, is really effective.
I've heard that for 20 years. We're going to open a Pandora's box. The box is open. What you want to do is close the box. So the risk assessment is part of that process. Because we're coming towards the end, what would be a take home message for the people on this podcast that you'd want to say about psychological health and safety that could actually, you know, make a real difference to them and to their businesses?
I mean, for me, it's all about listening to, I kind of mentioned it before, but it's about listening to your people. I don't know how that fits with the standard, Peter.
It's in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's in there as something that you should be doing. It's quite a lot. I did argue, I think, you know, listening is probably one of those inherent skills that we have and we choose to sometimes not use.
It keeps coming up as a tip, yeah. You know, people share, and, you know, a question people have, and it does sound obvious, but lots and lots of people don't do it yet. You know, don't put interventions in place until you find out what your people need and where they're up to.
Yeah, and I think that's a key element of the standard, isn't it, Pete? Consultation with workers.
Consultation, listening, planning, can-do act, it's all in there. And I think, you know, listening to your people, listening to listening to those that are telling you good things as well as bad things that you don't necessarily want to hear. But you need to hear those things to improve and to make the workplace a better place. So apologies for feedback if there was some there. Sheila, I'll leave it to you.
Okay. Well, I just want to say thank you, Claire, for your time today.
Hope that was okay. Yeah, cut out whatever you want.
No, that's absolutely fine. Just thanks for being here today and for your time on the podcast.
You've been listening to the UK Psych Health and Safety Podcast. To stay up to date with the latest on psychological injury prevention and the new ISO 45003 standard, follow subscribe to the UK Psych Health and Safety Podcast at www.ukpsychhealthandsafety.com.